Hey everybody, and welcome to The Void, a show dedicated to filling the void between being an employee and becoming self-employed. Most people refer to starting their own company as taking the leap, as if they're blindly jumping off a cliff and into the unknown. This show is here to help you understand that it doesn't have to be that way. I'm your host, Mitch Smedley, and with me as always is David Hilton.
I gotta stop fucking coming over here, dude.
Yeah?
I love you. We are great friends. I'd do anything for you or your kids. Not your wife, but you or your kids. But dude, we're spending a lot of time together.
Yeah, I know.
And you just
got... almost got an invite to the golf course yesterday. Almost.
Why only almost?
I didn't feel like it would help achieve the objective. It was actually Spencer's idea. He was like, we're one person short of a foursome. Do you want to invite Dave? And I'm like, for the goal that we have for this outing, I don't think Dave would help or hurt. So let's just keep it the three of us.
Well, first off, fuck you. Yeah. Second off, I'm going to call Spencer and tell him thanks.
Yeah, you should.
And I'm going to, dude.
He had your back.
Me, in any situation, will help regardless of what the said outcome needs to be.
You think so?
Yeah. No one sells better than I do, dude.
Okay.
It doesn't matter if I'm trying to sell something that I'm not tied to. If I feel like I have to make my buddy look good, I will.
Hell of a wingman.
I'm telling you, no one can outflank this wingman. Nobody. The only thing I won't do is fuck a fat girl. But after that, anything other than that, and that's only because...
Now, if she's skinny, that's a different story.
Wait, let me finish my thought. And that's only because I'm married. Because if I'm not married, I'll fuck that fat girl, dude. I will do...
Oh, boy.
This is my competitive nature. I will not lose.
We are 2 minutes in and already off the rails.
Now, who cares?
Jeez.
Who cares? I got a comment on YouTube the other day. Do you even look at the comments anymore?
Sometimes.
The answer is no. I don't do anything. And it was actually very good constructive criticism. He's like, hey, I'm paraphrasing. Is the point of this show to derive and give information or... just so you guys can catch up and banter for the first 30 minutes of the show? And I was like,
could be both.
I was like, it's kind of both. And the guy's like, maybe you guys should get to the content a little sooner. And then I told a few of the guys in Tradewinds, and they're like, fuck that guy.
Yeah.
He's like, that's the most entertaining
part. Make
their
own show.
So we started this show doing what we want, and we will continue to do so.
I mean, we had like 8 episodes recorded and released, and somebody was like, oh, I'd love to watch this show, but you guys curse. Sorry for you.
Well,
like,
you're
welcome
not,
to the real world.
Are you not paying for Paramount Plus and HBO Max?
Yeah.
And like, or what are you watching?
I try to play it on the TV but my kids are around and blah, blah, blah. Well, don't do that. Like, I don't know what to tell you.
Get a set of headphones, you fucking retard. It's not that hard. You know, dude, best gift we ever got from a Tradewinds member was Eduardo gave us those shocks.
Yeah.
Dude.
Yeah.
You can listen to whatever you want, but still hear what your wife's nagging you about. They're great.
Yeah.
I love those things, dude. I wear them all the time.
Yeah.
They're fantastic.
They're pretty cool.
They're more.
I used to wear them to the gym all the time. Now I'm going headphoneless to the gym. Trying to go less distractions, more focused on the gym. So, but I still wear them everywhere else.
That's an interesting take. Because I would think
the slight
distraction of pushing everything out and allow
focus on the music.
They already
have music playing in the gym.
Yeah,
but I'd like try to listen to a podcast, and then it's like, am I lifting weights? Am I listening to a podcast, or am I listening to music in the gym? Let's just.
Oh, that's a bad. That's why I don't listen to a lot of podcasts. Like I listen to a few, but it's hard.
Yeah.
Because my ADHD isn't as bad as yours, but I will try to multitask and be like, oh, I'm going to do this at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've just missed the last 20 minutes of what they were talking about, and it's like. That didn't help me. Yeah. All it did was distract me from what I was actually supposed to do. So then I just go back to the music. It's just the easiest way to do it, man.
It's different strokes for different folks.
Yeah. To all our regular listeners, I apologize for the audio issue last week.
Yeah.
That was 100% on me. To be honest.
Still don't even know what happened.
I did it. I have no idea what happened.
We had audio and then we didn't have audio.
I have fucking no clue, dude.
And it was nowhere to be found once it disappeared.
And I've told Mitch this 1,000 times. I'm super anal. Like, I want everything to be perfect.
Yep.
And if I still can't figure out what happened, that's not good.
Yeah.
as he looks over at the board, is it on?
Yes.
This motherfucker
turned
it on.
I don't know what I'm
on.
Looking at, but we're hoping it's working.
Everything's on. I don't know, man.
So.
Sorry to everybody. Although, a couple of the Tradewinds members said, yeah, it sucked, but you could still listen to it.
Yeah, it's like listening to it down a hallway.
Yeah, it was just different.
Yeah.
So the problem is it was such a banger. If it was shit, I'd have been like, hey, dude, we got to re-record this. But I was like, man, there's so much good shit in here.
Yeah. Maybe we got to throw the Zoom mic on the camera, and when it's back up, maybe the Zoom mic records better than just the straight camera.
Well, so I had the Rode mic when
we went
to the wet show, right?
Didn't work.
Not so good.
Okay.
I think, it's one of those things that if you don't use it, you lose it. I think maybe it's just over.
Maybe we just get a extended microphone and just set a mic on the table.
Yeah, we just need a
room
mic. Maybe that's what I'll do.
Maybe that's what we'll do.
I don't know. Am I trying to make more work for myself? Like, let's be honest. I've been doing the podcast for a year and a half.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's longer
than that. A year and 10 months. One issue.
Yeah.
So is it really worth changing everything because of one outlier?
Yeah. At least you didn't show up without batteries.
My name's not Marcus.
Yeah. that's a time passed for sure.
Dude, that guy was such a trip, man.
Yep.
Oh. Well, what do you want to talk about, Mitch?
So we are going to talk about technology, AI, and pricing. Okay? So I'm going to give you...
Congruency to what?
Well, I'm going to give you two examples of companies that are using technology to modify their price. And then I'm going to give you one conspiracy thought that I have.
Okay.
And then how it could apply to home service businesses.
Okay.
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 But before we get into that, a quick word from our sponsors. You know the Monday morning scramble, three trucks, everybody asking where they're headed. The one guy was already sent to the wrong side of town. Well, Field Pulse is built to end all that. Your whole crew, every job sit on one board. Drag the right tech to the right call. Hit their phone, address, job history, the whole rundown all shows up on their phone before they even turn the key on their truck. No phone tag, no wasted windshield time, no endless texts back and forth, no sending your newest guy to the hardest call of the day. Fewer wasted trips means more jobs of the day, and that means real money. So check out Field Pulse. Through the end of August, they're running a summer deal, 20% off plus 50% off their premium support for a year. So head over to the link in the description of this show to book a demo, and when they ask how you heard about them, tell them that Void sent you.
Boom.
So.
20% off. I know we've said that the last few podcasts. Is that till the end of the month? To the end of August? August 31st?
Yeah, through the end of August.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Okay, so Josh Hawley is Missouri's senator. And
left field. Let's go.
Well, we're getting into the
give it to me.
The things here.
Well, I've had a bunch of energy drinks. I'm ready to go.
Well, actually, let me set the preface first.
Okay.
So, the preface is going to be pricing, and some customers are okay with your price, and some customers aren't. And so, up until now, and for the next foreseeable future, it's a good business's job to find the customers that are okay with your price, right? And so we do that currently. We do that through marketing and through locations and everything else. Like our company, our plumbing company, doesn't go to the ghetto of Kansas City. It's literally a no-go zone. And if you try to type in an address, into our system, it flags it red, tells the CSR, the dispatcher, we don't go there. Reason why?
You okay?
Yeah, got the hiccups. Reason why is obviously low likelihood of success there, increased risk of theft and problems.
That's where I had a guy hold a gun on me one time. Not pointed at me, but was like, hey, who the fuck are you?
Yeah, many moons ago.
Sketchy down there, bro.
20 years ago, 18 years ago, long before I started my own company, I was running on call and went to a after hours call and show up house on the ghetto, gun and cocaine on the table.
my and, kind of establishment.
And the guy looks at like he invites me in, and then he looks at the table, and then he looks at me and sees me looking at the table.
Relax, bro.
And he's like, "You cool with that?" And I'm like, "Hey, this is your house, man. You do you." He goes, "All right."
Yeah.
He goes, "If you're cool with that, we're cool."
Yeah.
I'm like, "All right.
What were you going to say?"
Hey, what was I going to say? No.
No, I'm going to call the cops and be buried in the backyard. Yeah. No, of course I'm cool with it, whether I fucking am or not.
But like, so we have no-go zones where we try to carve some of that out. We strategically get, you know, you can market and advertise to about anybody. You can get, you know, average income household income thresholds and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
So a couple of days ago, one of my friends that owns a home service company here in town, he says, "These are the weekend calls." And he sends a screenshot of a text message conversation he's had with a potential client.
Oh, shit.
And the client says, "Hey, it's an emergency AC call. I think my capacitor went bad." And he replies, "Hey, it's going to cost $175 for the weekend dispatch fee plus $285 if it is the capacitor."
Okay.
And they say...
Pretty big company, I'm guessing.
No.
No?
No. Not private equity owned or anything like that.
Okay.
And so then the customer replies, "Okay, well, let me call you back after I call 10 other companies to see who will do it the cheapest." Okay? So,
man, I'm such an asshole. My response would have been like, "Don't call me back."
Yeah, don't call me back.
Yeah,
right?
I'm...
But so that's the type of client you're trying to stay away from, right? It's an emergency. I want somebody now, but I want the absolute cheapest.
Yeah.
Like good, fast, and cheap, you only get to pick two.
Yeah.
You want good and fast, it won't be cheap.
Yeah, not a lot of stuff stands the test of time. That those three things do.
Right. So, let me go to all. Oh, somebody deleted all their comments. Damn it.
Oh, shit. Am I going to have to edit this out?
No. Shoot. So, somebody commented on it and said, "$285 for a capacitor that costs $10, that's highway robbery." And this is a single woman that commented on it, and so she was taking the opportunity to be an empowered woman of, like, I don't need a man.
I think you mean empowered victim.
Yeah, whatever.
Same difference, right?
And so they go back and forth and back and forth, and he immediately replies with, like, "If you're buying capacitors for $10, give me your source. I'll give him all my capacitor business."
Yeah.
He's like, "The cheapest capacitor for the tiniest unit costs about $25.
Yeah, they're up. This isn't 10 years ago. They're $25, $30.
Yeah.
Which and still so, is cheap. Like,
so they
let's
go,
be honest.
They go back and forth and back and forth, and the woman realizes that she's kind of in the wrong. Yeah. Like, she works for a construction company.
Oh, shit.
She understands that, like, the purpose of business is to buy shit and sell it for more than you bought it for, and then sell your services for a fee, too. Right?
Yeah.
And this is weekend.
Yeah.
This is 2:40 in the afternoon on a Sunday.
Yeah. Gas, insurance,
it's
driving out.
Fucking hot.
Yeah.
Right?
Ugh.
And so they go back and forth, and she's just like, "You businesses just don't even know what you're doing." And keep in mind, she works for a large construction company. You just out there ripping people off and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, okay, you can't change that line of thought, but you can try to avoid those types of customers. And I'm sure his marketing probably is doing that. This was a post he put on Facebook where he's just getting clapped.
Yeah, sharing.
Back,
yeah,
right?
He's just sharing.
And chances are, you know, I don't want to say divisive stuff on. I'll put stuff on Facebook that will spur conversation and that's polarizing a little bit. And usually I'll have one person lean in to my, like, quote-unquote personal brand. And they're, you know, "Oh, I love what you put out there, and this is a great conversation and everything else."
Yeah.
And usually I'll have somebody lean back. And they'll I don't know what it is, but they've decided that's the post where they're going to announce to the world that they're not my biggest fan.
That's because people are jackasses.
I know.
Like, you're not the only guy,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I got crushed for a Southwest fucking post.
Right.
Because we got stranded for fucking 3 hours.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, you're so negative.
And I wasn't even, like, it wasn't
no,
even...
No, it's honor your fucking word.
And it's not even that. I was just complaining that we were there, and it was like all these Southwest employees are like, "You're lucky you're there and you're alive." Dude, when did the minimum standard become the top end of customer service? Like,
right. Exactly.
Dude, and I'm not even complaining. I'm just stating the fact that I'm fucking tired and want to go home.
Yeah. So we have that, right? Like, I can think just this last week in our company, we had somebody call for service, and we told them we have the $89 service fee over the phone, and it's waived if we perform work, and we'll get out there and diagnose what's wrong. Guy didn't know what's wrong. And so we get out there, and we tell him what's wrong, and I want to say he needed like a pressure regulation valve or something like that. And so we gave him the price to replace the pressure regulation valve. And he said that was too expensive, and so he paid the $89 service fee, and we left. And
okay,
like 3 days later, he calls back into the office just to vindicate himself. I don't know what he was. I don't know what his intentions were. He calls back into the office to yell at the office because he found a cheaper price somewhere else. And meanwhile, the office is like, what do you want us to do? Like, you've already had the work done. So, like, it's not even like I'm in a position where I could price match or anything. Like, not that we would price match.
No, you don't do that.
But, like what's your goal of this conversation?
It's to be
negative,
fucking petty, dude.
And petty? Like,
yeah.
Do you call up the GMC dealership?
I was just thinking when of Walmart.
When they tried to sell you a Denali loaded.
Yeah.
And then you actually went and bought a Silverado base model work truck. And do you call the Denali dealership and say, I found it for $40,000 less. You're trying to rip people off.
It's internet buying.
Right.
What I don't understand is, like, you can go online. I want to have something shipped to my house, right? You look at Walmart, you look at Target, you look at Amazon, you look at whatever. You pick the cheapest price. They ship it to your house. Do you call the other ones?
Right.
Do you complain and say, oh, well, fucking Target was trying to get me for another $5 fucking dollars.
Right.
No, you don't. But you're telling me the salt of the earth people that are coming to your house, trips it through your fucking bullshit to give you good service and a guaranteed outcome, deserve to be fucking harassed
badgered
and hounded because you're a petty piece of shit?
Yeah.
Dude, I'm telling you, the more and more that fucking life goes on, like, I don't want to say I'm a bitter old man because I don't think I'm old yet, and I will deny it until I'm dead. But fuck, dude. What is wrong with people?
Yeah.
What is wrong with them?
I'm going to pull up one more example, and these are just personal examples.
Fuck
and then,
these people, bro.
And then I'm going to go into what we do from
While
this.
You're pulling that up, you watch the Joe Rogan podcast.
Uh-huh.
You know his big, giant Italian fat buddy, Joey something. He's a comedian.
Okay.
He goes on, and it's on a little bit of a rant, and he's just, like, he just says, dude, these fucking people, I can't stand these fucking people. They just complain, and they bitch, and everyone's a fucking asshole all the time. He's like, I fucking hate them. Like, he just goes on this rant for like 10 minutes. I'm starting to understand. Like, the first time I saw it, I was like, ah, it's funny. The guy's mad. And now I'm like, huh, yeah, bro, I get it. Yeah. Like, it's like, how much negativity can you fucking handle before you're just like, I think I'm living in the woods from fucking now on. I got to get away from these fucking jackasses. The fucking internet, dude, like, it has ruined. I shouldn't say ruined society, but it's ruined a lot of the great things that society has to offer. And it makes it really difficult to be in the home service industry. And I don't want to turn this into a negative fucking bitch rant or anything, but God, it's fucking tough, man.
I'm trying to, there was a post just yesterday. Somebody went to the local community page and was like, hey, anybody know anybody that can install gas lines? I'm wanting to add a gas range or something to my kitchen. And they had a photo of the outside of their house and their gas meters on the outside of the house. They had another circle drawn and they said, my basement has a drop ceiling, so it's all accessible. And I need to get a gas line from this meter down the side of the house, drill in here, run across the basement and up into my kitchen. And
did they give links? 20 feet, 30 feet.
I mean, it doesn't matter if they gave lengths or not. Like,
well,
a plumber's
there's a
still
big difference
go out there
between 10 feet and fucking 200 feet.
Correct.
You know.
But I commented on it and I said, be ready for the gas line to cost significantly more than the gas appliance that you are wanting to add to your kitchen. I said, most people think it's going to be less than $500 to add the gas line, and it usually ends up being $1,000 to $3,000. And she clapped back and she was like, all for a couple of feet of pipe and a couple of elbows and a shutoff?
Yeah, go to Home Depot and get them then, bitch.
Right.
Like, that's why I can't be on the internet, man.
And so as I'm fuck on Facebook off right now searching for the post, here's a post of mine from December 27th, 2022. So 4 years ago.
Oh, Jesus.
I don't know who needs to hear this, but running a new gas line will cost more than the new range you just bought. Anyone willing to do it for less should be scarier than gas station sushi. So
that's actually good.
But what we're hitting at is there's a lot of people that confuse the commodities market with the service market. Yes, and customers will absolutely do that, right? In other words, like what you were talking about, I need an item. I can go to Walmart. I can go to Amazon. I can go to Target.
Yeah.
I'm going to buy it from where, price and availability is going to rule the roost, right? Yeah. How fast do I need it? Who's got it for the best price? Cool.
Yeah.
Done. And so those are commodities. There's very little to no service associated with that.
Yeah.
It's commodity based. Well, unfortunately, a lot of customers try to push commodities into the service market. Okay. So in other words, if all I did was sell toilets, I'm a commodities dealer. But if I sell toilets with install and removal of your old toilet and haul away and everything else, well, now that's a service.
Yeah.
Okay. If I go to a restaurant and I order at a stand-up kiosk where I have to queue in my order, and then somebody just says, number 13, and I walk up and I pick up my order, that's a commodity.
You still mad at Shake Shack?
There is no service. We're talking about Shake Shack.
I know.
There's no service there, right?
Yeah.
And so, that's the blend of the whole tipping culture thing. It's like, I'm not tipping you. If I had to stand up to order and I had to key in my own order, who am I tipping? Myself?
Yeah, it's like it would be like if Walmart asked you to tip because you had to check out your own shit.
Right.
It's like, what?
Went to Dutch God Brothers yesterday to get Danielle a drink. And they were like, they hand the little tablet thing out the window. And they, of course, it's going to ask you a quick question.
Yeah.
Why beat around the bush? It's going to ask you if you would like to tip.
Yeah.
Right? It's going to ask you a quick question. What does that even mean?
Dude,
drove here.
That is more of a turnoff than anything
you
else.
You literally stood in one spot. You didn't do anything. Yeah. You stood in one spot.
Yeah, I know.
I drove all the way here. And like, I'm not fucking tipping a drive-thru person.
Dude, you know what's crazy? So we went to Destin for the event, right?
Uh-huh.
And they had a little bar out there on the beach.
Mm-hmm.
You could sign. You could do your credit card. You could put a tip. You could do ever. Dude, no one says anything, right? They just have tip jars out. The old school tip jars out.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, if I see a tip jar, Starbucks does this too. I think the one in Blue Springs. There's a tip jar, but then there's the deal. There's more money in that tip jar than anyone will put on that card. For guys that are like us, that are in the service industry that understand it, right?
Yeah.
Because they're not begging. They're not asking. Yeah. They're not pushing you. I mean, everything's cyclical, right?
Right.
I'm hoping that we kind of... And I think some of that has kind of come back because people are over COVID finally.
I have a hard time tipping bartenders for a beer. In other words...
Go ahead.
I'm not trying to act stingy. I'm just saying, like, especially if it's a bottle beer.
Dude, you're you're talking to the stingiest guy on the planet, so go ahead.
Right. So, like, if it's a bottle beer... The bartender influences nothing other than how fast did you recognize I needed a drink and how fast did you turn around and get it to me. But like you literally reached into the cooler that the bar back stocked and grabbed a bottle and grabbed your bottle opener out of your back right pocket and flipped the cap off the bottle and then set it on the table. Right? Now, if I'm asking you to make a mixed drink and now you're actually servicing that, you know, you're putting work into it, that's different.
Yeah.
But well, I still tip bartenders and everything else.
No, you're
but
a great tipper.
But like, yeah. What I'm getting at is like,
we both are.
I draw, like, for me, the trigger for a tip is did your work alter the outcome of my interaction?
Well,
and so like servers, bartenders making mixed drinks, things like that.
I will agree with part of that. When you go to Seven Brew, that person giving you your drink is not making your experience any better.
Right.
When I go to a bar, regardless of if all she has to do, he does, doesn't matter,
mm-hmm.
has to walk, get it, and come back, right? Yes. But what do bartenders do? They make your experience better.
Yeah, they're going to polish the glass. They're going to talk with you.
Well, they get to you quicker.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They smile. You're in a better mood.
Yep.
You know, they go get it quickly. They come back. They, you know, a little banter and stuff. So they're enhancing the experience.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I would think the one area, and this isn't really coffee barista versus bartender versus anything. If someone adds to my experience at their place of business,
mm-hmm.
I will tip them.
Yeah.
Like if I get the minimum, there's no tip. But if you add to my experience, which is really, let's be honest, I came here for the experience and the convenience because I can make that shit at home.
Right.
So if the experience is enhanced, if she's good looking and she flirts with me a little bit, she's getting it sounds petty.
Yeah.
But it's like that's the whole point of their job.
Right.
They're in the customer service industry, yeah. as in I'm trying to make your day better for coming in here. And if they do that,
yeah.
I'll tip them. Now, and with bartenders, I think it's there's a lot more leeway for them to do that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because like, you're not getting fucking a bar through the goddamn drive-thru at Seven Brew. A beer at the Seven Brew drive-thru.
But there's a big gray area there, right? Like, let's say you go to a concert venue, and they have a place where you can go buy drinks.
That's not a bartender. That's a fucking a flesh human that's just a flesh robot that's just handing stuff out.
Exactly.
They're not enhancing my
experience.
So
they got a big tub of ice, and it's full of beers.
That's not
and
it.
They're charging $9 for a beer. I'm not tipping you. You literally, like, for one, you charge me $9 fucking dollars for a beer. But for two, I could have swiped my card, reached in there, and grabbed it.
You know what I mean? If that person enhanced your experience after waiting in line, you may tip them.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it completely depends. The conversation here is, are they going above and beyond?
Are they a commodity or are they a service?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is the dude, after you waited in line for 30 fucking minutes to get that $9 beer that you've overpaid for, when you get up there, giving you a Jello shot for free?
Right.
And then you're tipping him?
Yeah. Right.
Is he giving you a good laugh when you get up there so you add another dollar?
Yeah.
But if it's just someone that's standing there flipping fucking screens around and putting the beer out there, no.
Right. Right.
You know, those are two different things.
Yeah. And so,
not to ramble, but
yeah, yeah.
I think it's important, like, to make that note.
The gray area drives down so deep to like, okay, if all you're doing is ringing me up for an order I created, you probably don't deserve a tip.
No, you're just doing your job.
Okay. Well, that's Seven Brew. That's Starbucks. That's all those people.
Yeah.
Like, are you telling me that the job of a barista standing at the drive-thru window is that much more difficult than the job at the Walmart checkout line, having to scan all of your groceries, and their speed changes how long you stand in line? They can smile, they can talk, right? There's people that are supporting that checkout role, the shelf stockers and everything else. It's just weird on what they're trying to push tipping into.
No, I understand, but like, let's be honest. Like, this is America.
Mm-hmm.
Capitalism rules, yep. right? So if you think you can get away with it, you try to get away with it, right? Right.
So
the distinction is to be aware of why, who, when, where, what, all that kind of stuff, and then decide: am I gaining something extra here by tipping, or did I gain something extra so I'm going to tip?
Right.
If not, fuck them, dude. Zero. Get the fuck out of here.
Right. Right.
The mindset of everyone's going to pay me extra because I put tip on there is ridiculous. I almost posted this in the Tradewinds group the other day. Like, maybe trades guys should lean into it and put tip on their fucking.
Well, some
we tell we
House
tell
Call
our
Pro
guys
has a tip thing that like you can.
We tell our guys to not do it.
Tip your service guy
because it's cringe, right?
Yeah.
You and I hate it. It's cringe, but let's be honest. If that guy goes above and beyond and is fantastic, he has more of a right to put a tip button on that than the fucking goddamn Starbucks barista.
Yeah.
Wearing purple hair and a septic piercing telling you you're an idiot.
Right.
While serving you and then expecting a tip.
Yeah.
Like, maybe some of us service guys should be leaning into that.
Well, that's maybe where
Miss
we're going with this conversation.
Maybe Miss Susie Joe Johnson needs a little flirt with her. You know, we're you know, there are no limitations to what you can try to do, I guess is my point.
That's where we're going with this conversation. Not so much on the tipping, but on dynamic pricing. So,
dynamic pricing.
Josh Hawley, Missouri senator, recently went to a Senate Judiciary Committee hearing, and he was talking about AI-driven surveillance pricing. He discovered that in Missouri, Lyft charged 55. So there were 55. Somebody ran this study in Missouri. 55 people requested a ride at the exact same time,
okay,
from the exact same location,
okay,
to the exact same location.
A high, like a very popular place, I'm assuming, for 55?
Don't know.
That'd be Power and Light.
But
KCI.
Lyft charged all 55 people 29 different rates. Same ride, same starting location, same ending location. Same number of passengers.
Don't the drivers get to dictate that price?
No.
No? Not in Lyft? Okay.
Nope.
I'm a little
Lyft
ignorant.
Or Uber, no.
I'm a little ignorant about how that pricing structure works.
Yeah.
So.
And so the immediate clapback or the immediate argument, or let's call it the safety belt for the corporation, is, well, we have surge pricing. And when we develop, when our algorithms sense that a ride from a destination or to a destination or combined is increasing in popularity minute by minute, then the pricing goes up. Okay?
Supply and demand.
Supply and demand.
Yeah.
Right. So, for instance,
capitalism's base.
If,
I like
if
it.
Right now, today, I wanted an Uber ride from my house to Arrowhead Stadium, I may be able to get that ride for $20. But if I decide I want that Uber ride an hour before kickoff on game day, that ride
expensive.
May cost me $100.
Yeah.
Okay. So that is surge pricing, demand based pricing.
Yeah.
Okay. Home service companies could absolutely do this. In other words, if you want to be my next call, it's $129. If you want me to get there in the next four calls, like today, then it's $89. But if you want to get put on tomorrow's schedule, then it's a $59 service charge, right? And so, in other words, you're qualifying the level of urgency from your customer. If you want us to drop everything and head to you right now, you're going to pay the most for a trip charge. But if you're if you just want service today, you're going to pay the average. And if you want service tomorrow,
yeah,
you're going to get a discount.
No, I get
okay?
It.
So that's demand-based pricing in the home service world. Some companies actually do that.
Are you serious?
Yes.
I'm not saying it's wrong.
Yeah, no, like companies will take, they have an active manager that helps decide this, but like, let's say I open for business this morning and my schedule's empty. I'm waiving all trip charges. I got to fill my schedule, right?
Yeah.
But then, okay, halfway through the day, schedule's half full and looking to fill up. Okay, now we're charging trip charges. But then towards the end of the day, I only got one spot left. I'm going to charge a premium for that one spot left.
Or so they're going tomorrow.
They're doing dynamic trip charge pricing.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, you'd have to be so big to do that because you got to have a guy that's on top of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. Now.
God, do the prices move? Like, once you're set, though, they can't up your service charge price.
No, they're
once you say now.
Once you say, like, I want it now,
yeah,
then you're going to get that price.
Or
I want it tomorrow, you're going to get tomorrow's price. And that just is what it is. Right? But what Josh Hawley's team found was that this was an anomaly for surge pricing. The team dug deeper and they discovered that people that have the ways and means to spend more on a Lyft ride were the ones that got charged the elevated rates.
Oh, that's illegal as fuck.
And so the accusation is
rich people were charged
that Lyft is using AI data.
Yeah.
Your
metadata.
Your digital metadata, your digital paper trail, your digital lifestyle, everything that shows up in the metadata that reflects your lifestyle.
Which is, it's crazy. People don't understand this. It's what car you drive. It's what your payments are. It's how much money you've spent on extra expenses like Lyft and going out to eat and all of that stuff. Yes. A lot of it is public data.
Yeah. And
well, it shouldn't be, but it is.
And so the argument is that Lyft is buying that data and then charging people more simply because they can afford it, not because of surge pricing.
Yeah.
They're applying, it's under the veil of surge pricing. That's the seatbelt. That's the safety belt.
Yeah.
But it's not actually surge pricing. It's surge pricing compounded with this variable data.
Yeah.
So another example that's come out just in the last week, you queued up to it earlier, Shake Shack.
This is just because you had a fit.
So,
and I agree.
A video came out online about a guy that went to Shake Shack, and what's this guy's name? B.D. Powell was the creator's name, and he's addressing the camera and he says, "So my wife tells me that if you go to Shake Shack and you decline to tip, then they will alter the price of your items and actually charge you more for the items."
Yeah.
And so then he walks up to a Shake Shack kiosk and does it. And he's got like three items in his little cart thing, and they're all like a $6.99, a $5.99, and a $4.99 or something
just
like that.
Just regular stuff.
And then it gets to the point, would you like to add a tip? And he says no. And then literally the next screen says, oops, a pricing modification has been made to one or more of your items. And then when you hit next, it added 50 cents to every single one of his items, but only after he declined a tip. Okay?
Dude, that's illegal as fuck, too.
So
that's called, for the old school guys, bait and switch.
Right. So this particular video was filmed at the Shake Shack in the Salt Lake City International Airport. Now, of course, everyone's got their safety belts. Everyone's got their excuse in the bank that they can blame things on when they get caught with their hand in the cookie jar. Okay? For instance, Lyft, their excuse is surge-based pricing. But when you dig deeper, you realize not everybody gets the rules applied to them the same. Okay?
Yeah.
So Shake Shack says it was a software glitch isolated to just that airport location, blah, 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 blah.
Which you know is bullshit.
Which you know is absolute bullshit.
The same fucking software. Get the fuck out of here.
That's the reason places of business use digital pricing.
Yeah.
Is so that I can, if I decide today I want this shake to be $7.99 instead of $6.99, it's $7.99 today. I don't have to go take down signage and put up new signage and reprogram shit. All that stuff's pushed from the corporate cloud to the kiosk.
Yeah. Okay. The airport is more expensive because
exactly.
It's high priority. So the price is this. For it to happen halfway through an order, you know it's bullshit.
Happen after you decline to tip.
You know what I mean.
And what everyone is, a lot of people are missing this. So some of the comments on the video were saying, well, they didn't run through and say what would happen to the pricing if you did tip. Okay. Valid point.
Are you tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? The Void Podcast has negotiated exclusive rates for the Void listeners. This program's tailored for trade businesses like yours. And if you're using House Call Pro, switch and you can expect to save $80 for every 10,000 you process per month. Don't let high processing fees drain your profits. Visit empowerpayments.com/the void or call us at 913-423-1265 now and unlock your savings.
The other ones are saying, well, it's an airport, so there's a surcharge. But exactly what you were saying, no. The menu should reflect the surcharge at the moment you're selecting the item, not after you declined a tip.
I mean,
right?
The Shake Shack thing, like, there are some gray areas. The Lyft thing, dude, it's 100% obvious.
Well, I'm going to blow your lid on the Shake Shack thing.
Okay, give it to me.
So I went to lunch a couple of months ago with a guy that was wanting me to partner with him to do some advertising for our company. And you ever gone to a bar or a restaurant and you got the little LED screen standing in front of you while you're at the urinal?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they're pitching ads to you while you're taking
ads.
A leak?
Yeah, it's just right. Ads. I never really looked at it.
So the original version of that was little billboards.
Yeah, that you changed.
And they would open the glass and then change the ads inside the billboards.
Yeah.
Right? Well, then they went digital billboard.
Yeah.
To where now we can scroll through ads. We can sell more ad space. We can push it from the corporate cloud and we can.
Yeah, you don't have to do anything there, guys. We got it.
Yeah. In other words, if I want to advertise at this one bar in this one city, I just make a phone call and my ad's playing in 10 minutes in that bar. I didn't have to drive to the bar. Nobody had to drive to the bar.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So I'm at lunch with this guy 2 months ago. And I said, you know, with the surveillance state of the world today, I'm really surprised that these little kiosks that are staring at me when I'm peeing, I'm really surprised they aren't recognizing who's standing in front of the kiosk. And they aren't combining all of the retargeting technology with cell phone proximity technology. And they don't recognize that, oh, this is Mitch Smedley standing in front of here. And we know that Mitch Smedley was just researching a deck.
I don't think you can do that in front of a urinal, right?
What's that?
Like have facial recognition.
No. It's not facial recognition. It's device proximity recognition.
Regardless.
In other words, we recognize that Mitch Smedley's device
is standing in front of this urinal.
Real close.
Okay.
And so we're going to pitch ads that make sense to that device. Right?
Okay. All right.
So this particular gentleman tells me.
I guess all mine are boob pics.
Yeah.
That's like Facebook.
So this particular gentleman tells me, he was like, I'm surprised. You're the first person I've ever talked to that's brought this up. He says, we already have a mild version of this. In other words, we track on the macro the types of devices that are in proximity to our devices, to our screens. And so
just
we
more generic based.
We know on average, the average household income of a person using this urinal is this. We know.
Oh, because of the type of bar it is.
Well,
price structure inside of that bar. These people typically go there.
No. They're not applying like static things. They're literally tracking devices in proximity to their screens, but on a macro, on an average.
Oh, I see what you're saying. They take them all and then they're like, okay.
In the last month, we've had a guy making $100,000 and a guy making $400,000 a year.
God, that's
stand in front of this.
Dude, that's scary as fuck, right?
He says literally the next rendition, and I'm protecting the guy's name here because
I don't want to know who he is.
Well, he's dissolving a business partnership. He created this technology for immediate instantaneous device recognition.
Oh, he's a piece of shit. Got it.
And so he's breaking off from the company that he's with currently so he can start this new one.
And oh, now, he is a double piece of shit. He's still doing it.
No, he's not a piece of shit.
Dude, anyone that's doing that kind of stuff, in my book, is downgraded from humanity.
No. This is the type of this is admirable because he's a marketer. He's an advertiser. This is admirable whenever it comes to marketing and advertising. In other words, if I want to pay for my name to be on those screens, I don't want it to be in front. Like, I don't want to waste my ad dollars. I don't want my ad dollars going to people that aren't going to buy my product.
You're looking at it too small.
No.
I'm looking at it as a big, in the big scheme of things, like they can take that technology and then like not mitigate, but amplify what we want these types of people to see to try to manipulate them later.
Oh, that's absolutely already happening.
No, I know.
But,
and those type of people that are like trying to profit from that kind of technology in my book are substandard humans.
So
fuck that guy.
So
that's what I'm saying.
Go ahead. That type of technology already exists. Okay.
It's probably existed for 5, 6, 7 years.
So now let's roll
maybe 10.
Let's roll all of these examples together. The example of the woman that was texting the guy I know about a capacitor price. She's not even his customer, and she's just badgering him that you guys charge too much for a capacitor.
Yeah.
Okay? From that example all the way to Lyft applying their surge pricing differently based off of your financial means into Shake Shack, adding 50 cents to every item only after you declined a tip, and then excusing it away as a software glitch, right?
Yeah.
Who's to say that when you stand in front of that Shake Shack kiosk and it says that shake is $6.99, that I am presented with the exact same price for that shake when I stand in front of that Shake Shack kiosk?
Nobody.
Exactly.
Well.
So.
I mean, yes. The only, and this is devil's advocate. I haven't played devil's advocate in a long time, but like when you pull up to the 7 Brew, is the complete screen changing? All of it?
So,
like when you go online and look at it, are you only seeing what they want you to see?
Online is a great example.
That's what I'm saying.
Because online is direct to your device.
Yeah, this is, okay. Dude. When you talk about conspiracy shit like that,
that's why I said
scary as
that's
fuck.
Why I said this show's gonna be half business, half conspiracy. But it's all capitalism.
First
right?
off, let me be the first to say that I don't take my phone anywhere on purpose. A lot of the times,
yeah.
And it's because of fucking shit like this. And when people start saying things like, maybe we should go back to flip phones that are only for phone calls and no internet.
Yeah.
Those motherfuckers are right.
Right. So, like, it absolutely is a very realistic probability that when you are shopping online for something, you are presented with different pricing than I am. And, of course, all these competitors are going to say, well, different regions pay different pricing. Dave and I live 3 miles from each other. Okay?
Man, maybe we should start a little study of our own.
So
about Amazon, like what we buy.
Right.
Online and keep track of it and see.
What things cost, right. And so, I mean, Amazon especially, they're probably...
if anyone was more guilty than anybody else, my guess would be it would be Amazon.
I will say guilty. If anyone was more likely to use AI data-driven pricing technology.
Well, I meant if anyone's willing to charge someone a different rate because they make more money, it would be Amazon.
Yeah. Sidebar, have you seen the battle that's starting to brew between Amazon and New York?
Oh, not enough to know what I'm talking about.
So,
barely.
Jeff Bezos.
I know what you're talking about, but barely.
There's some friction there.
Between him and Mamdani.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Jeff Bezos said if we ran Amazon like New York runs its public school systems, it would take 8 days for you to receive an item and it would probably be the wrong item. And then he and then he goes
that's actually funny.
He goes on to say that the New York public school system spends like he's comparing how much they spend per student compared to all of these other school systems.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not even close.
Oh, it's crazy.
And the results are like they're spending more and getting worse results and everything else.
Yeah.
So now Mamdani, whatever.
Should be dead guy.
Is clapping back and he's literally got TV commercials out there where he's going to be pursuing legal action against Amazon for Amazon subcontracting out to drivers.
Who's going to pay for that lawsuit? New Yorkers?
Yeah. Who do you think?
Dude, that guy's a fucking piece of shit, man.
Yeah. Only in New York will you not need an ID to vote, but you need an ID to buy lettuce.
I mean, I'm not going to say that if other countries all over the world are like going to bomb one city, it shouldn't be New York. But I mean, maybe it should be. I don't know.
Or LA.
I don't know.
And or LA.
I notice you're wearing your DS plumbing shirt. Dude, you know I love my man George Diaz. His wife I'm not going to say her name.
Oh, she's big into conspiracy stuff.
Dude, right now, if she's listening, she's like, I've been telling motherfuckers that for 5 years.
Yeah. So what I'm getting at is on this whole commodity versus service thing, if humans already struggle to know the difference between what is a commodity and what is a service, well, then... And tipping culture is already at a precipice of what deserves tipping and what doesn't.
Yeah.
And some people go the noble, like nobility route with tipping. I tip everybody. I tip great. And they're acting like if I post this or comment this, people are going to revere me as a good human.
If it's a
right,
yeah. If it's a traditional, I don't want to get you off track. If it's a traditional tipping role, I start at 10, and I go up and down from there.
Yeah.
If you're shit. You're less.
Yeah.
If you're great, you're getting fucking 25% tip. Like, I let the actual service dictate what I'm going
right.
to tip somebody.
And so if we're already blurred in that area, but then we're already so sheltered, right? So, in other words, technology is driving us to communicate with others less, while at the same time enabling us to communicate with each other more. But what I mean is...
Oh, God, I know exactly what you mean.
When 20 years ago, if I wanted to go buy something, I'd be like, hey, Dave, I'm looking to buy this thing. You know who's got them for a good price? Oh, I don't know. It's kind of hard to find out who's got them. And, well, so-and-so bought one over here for this much, and so-and-so bought one over here. Like, it was all word of mouth, like legit word of mouth.
Yeah, or you had to call O'Reilly's,
you had to call,
and then AutoZone, right. and then whatever for car parts.
Right, right, right.
Just because that was our pass,
yeah.
right, you know?
And so, but now, everyone can immediately go to their phone and find that item five different ways from Sunday. Five different locations, five different delivery methods.
Yeah.
And they can pick their price.
Yeah, and man, it was crazy. It was only 10 years ago.
Right.
Like literally, I have a $4,500 guitar I got for $600 on Reverb.
Right.
Because there was no way to find out. Like
right.
you had to really dig even with technology 10 years ago. Now it's 30 seconds and you understand it.
Right.
Right.
And so capitalism has driven corporations to try to squeeze every dollar they can from everybody. And the former version of this, and it's still heavily in place today, is all the fees and all the bullshit.
Yeah.
Right?
They were dictating the price after the price.
Yeah, it's the fee, the because we can fee, the insulation fee, the finance fee, the non-finance fee,
but it wasn't
the cash fee.
But it wasn't based on the amount of revenue you make every year.
Correct.
That's the scary part.
And so
right?
now you're going to add in a fourth dimension to that. And that is, how well can you afford this?
Oh, man, is it the this is how we tax people with more money to create equality? When you start saying things to me like conspiracy theory, my mind starts rolling.
Oh, yeah.
Like that's what I think about.
Right.
Like if you don't want to get it through legislation or can't get it through legislation because people aren't stupid,
yeah.
like how else can you do it? How can corporations do it? This is how they can do it.
Right. So like I have. Shake Shack is a big freaking company. There's no way.
I mean, the burgers are so good.
Literally the day after, so that came out in an evening. And that came out Friday evening.
Yeah.
Saturday, I was due to be in proximity to the Shake Shack near us. Grant gets his haircut over in Lee Summit, and I had to take him to the haircut. And so I'm like, I'm going to test this shit out. Grant and I are going to go get some ice cream after his haircut, and we're going to see.
At the Shicky Shack.
And so I went to Shake Shack, and I pulled out my phone, and I ordered from the kiosk, and it did not modify. Now, when I went, it...
You would have had to go back, put your phone in the truck, and then go back in.
Well, when I went, it we were only one of four parties in the dining room.
Mm.
It was like 3 p.m. Like, totally dead.
Yeah.
Okay? And so... I had made a Facebook post talking about this because it's awesome. It's verifiable proof, right?
Yeah,
Shake Shack absolutely charged these people more after they declined to tip.
I'm not arguing that point
at all. And so it's like, I want to see if this happens with us. And so I full transparency, I updated my post and I said, okay, I went to my local Shake Shack and we declined to tip and we were not charged more. Now,
yeah.
Here's the conditions of our visit. It was a very slow time in the middle of the afternoon. We were one of four parties in the waiting room.
They're not trying to piss off customers.
It's not in an airport.
That's the conspiracy theory side.
But it's also highly possible because all this stuff is pushed from a corporate cloud to these kiosks. It's also very, very highly possible because that video went viral. And it's very possible that Shake Shack jumped on it immediately.
Saw it and was like, hey, motherfuckers,
said,
we got to
turn that off now.
We got to have a software update fucking now.
And they turned it off to where nobody, after they saw the video, nobody would be able to replicate the results.
Yeah. That's true. It could happen.
But immediately what I thought of was, okay, literally just in the last week, we have Lyft randomly charging people more. I mean, I remember I went to, this was 3 years ago, we flew to Las Vegas and we rented a Class A motorhome and drove all the way around the Grand Canyon.
That was longer ago than that, I think.
3 or 4 years ago, I think.
Yeah.
And so...
Not you and I, you and your family, for those that are listening.
I paid $189 for an Uber XL, which was a standard Tahoe.
Which is a nice vehicle.
This one wasn't. But... I'm not judging the quality. I'm not snobby enough to care.
No,
about
it. You don't care.
But what I'm saying is, like, we had a family of four with a week's worth of luggage for all four of us. We needed a big vehicle.
Yeah, fuck.
And Uber tells you this ride's normally $89, but there is a $100 surge fee added to it.
Well, at least they tell you though.
And you're And you're standing in the Uber pickup area. And there's 500 people requesting rides, and you're shoulder to shoulder.
Yeah.
So you see the context that warrants the surge pricing, right?
Agreed. And like, let's be honest. When you and I went to Vegas, I told you this. Mm-hmm. This was after that.
Yeah.
I went to Uber, and like the Uber, there were 700 people out there, and I look over the side, and the taxi, there's 50 taxis out there, and there's three people.
Yeah.
I was like, nope, I'm going down here. $29.
Yeah.
$29.
Yeah.
Like, that is the good part about it, yeah. Right? It's like, they're trying to add that charge, but then that creates a gap,
yeah.
Which is the whole purpose of capitalism, for others to fill that hole, right?
Right, right, right.
And you look over and you're like, oh, okay, I'm going to do that.
I'm going to do that one.
So in this example, yeah, it makes sense.
But there's also no guarantee that the $89 I was presented wasn't $59
to somebody else.
No,
you're right.
Right, from metadata. And so you combine all of this stuff together, surge pricing delivered straight to your cell phone that you're not going to openly talk about, the Josh Hawley discovery with Lyft and how they were able to correlate who paid more based off of their financial means, and then this Shake Shack thing and the fact that it disappeared so fast. So one thing everybody misses from the Shake Shack video, that's not the first time that was recorded.
No.
The guy opens the video saying, so my wife says that if you decline a tip, they actually charge you more for your
order.
And
so he's trying to prove it.
And so it's happened before.
Yeah.
And look, they're proving it, right?
Dude.
And now it hasn't happened since. And everybody's recording. I'm sure I'm the only one.
How is it hasn't happened since, not more proof?
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly. So,
man, we are getting deep in the conspiracy side.
It's not really conspiracy. It's more or less
like...
Yes,
it is, but it's true. It's probably true.
It's the public's recognition of the way pricing has moved that we were never asked about, we were never told was going to happen, and so we're kind of caught off guard and a little butthurt about, like, we're almost offended, maybe.
No, we are offended, and justfully so.
Right, right, right. But like,
justifiedly so, sorry.
As you stated earlier, that's the purpose of capitalism, and it's business owners' idea to push all those boundaries, right? So business owners should push for your technicians to ask for tips and prompt for tips and see what you can get away with, because it is capitalism. And I don't really have a dog in this fight one way or the other.
Well, until you're, like for me, it's until you're lying, that's where I draw the line.
Yeah.
Like when you're intentionally being deceiving or deceptful about something.
Deceptive,
thank you. Then that's where I draw the line. Because the one big problem with capitalism is that we all understand that we have a moral code, but then people push their moral code or their moral boundary to then justify capitalism.
Like
That's the one gray area with capitalism, right?
Right.
The one point I will make is, you know how fucking scary it is that they're just now... Someone in government is just now saying it, because you know that means that they're 5 years behind.
Right.
It's like cocaine.
Yeah.
You like when they decided, okay, cocaine's bad. Well, what about the million
kilos? Pablo Escobar had already made billions.
He's already sold a million kilos. Like, we know you're behind, you know? So, like, how...
Right.
It's one of those things that you know there will never be an outcome that is justifiable. As in, we're able to hold people accountable for X, Y, and Z.
Right.
Right. And two, it's going to keep going on.
Well,
you know what I mean? Like, it's going to keep happening.
What What this brings up is...
is we should kill all social media and internet on your phone? Yeah, I agree.
How do home service people capitalize on this opportunity? Right? So what I'm getting at is, I'm sure somebody out there right now is developing an app.
My guess is it's probably already out there. Big companies are already doing it. And they're not making it available for you to purchase or to for you. You know what I mean? Because they realize they can corner the market with it.
Yeah. But like, imagine this is the next step for home service companies. Like right now, in my company right now, and this is perfectly legal, we offer financing for large repairs.
Careful.
We no. This is 1,000% legal. We can do a soft run on anybody's credit using publicly available information. And
that's any industry, by the way. If
any industry. This is the same thing if you're pre-approved for this credit card that you get in the mail.
Yeah,
they did a soft credit pull.
They do it all the time. Yeah.
So when we have a customer's name, address, email, phone number, everything else, we can plug that into an app, and it will tell us through our financing company what that person is likely to be approved for. And so, for instance, how we use this in our company is I'm going to somebody who says they need a new sewer.
Yeah.
And I want to know what kind of parameters do I have to work with? Not necessarily what do they need, but like, is this person going to be able to afford it? Well, I don't know until I talk to the person, but I can, on the drive there, I can know, can they finance it? Right? I can know, is financing a possibility not? And so our guys will plug in their info and they'll get a, let's call it a vague, it's not approval, but it's a vague approval. It's saying, yeah, based off of everything we're seeing, this person's probably going to be approved for $30,000 in financing.
Yeah. And which means you know you have a green light for 25.
And so what our guys do with that is now we go into that call with more confidence because now we can literally option the customer the best repairs that are available, like a complete line replacement.
Yeah.
And if it gets, most of our sewers don't come close to $30,000.
No,
right?
They don't.
They're 10 to 12.
Yeah.
But
around here, that's about
but if we got to go under a road or across the street or something like
something
the
crazy.
Price starts getting up there. But what it does is it lets our technicians go into that call with confidence, knowing that, hey, if the customer freaks out about the price, I got financing in my back pocket. And I already know that they're probably going to get approved.
Yeah.
And so it changes the interaction. It technically allows us to give them better service, right?
Well, yes. But the thing that's concerning is that's the wrong word. But it changes the conversation for the good or the bad.
Yeah.
If your guys for the good, right? The scary thing is other companies that are dishonest, but are
they're
going to
take a $20,000 sewer and make it 30 because they already know they can get approved for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that's the part that's like, man, fuck.
Well, you still got to present value, right? And I can't just take a $20,000 sewer and add 50% to the price and make it $30,000.
Oh, if you're a piece of shit, you can.
And the customer not go, well, why is yours $10,000 more than the other guys and you're giving me the same shit, right?
Because I know you can't afford it. And they don't say this, but I know you can't afford it and you can finance it through us. And I'm betting that these other two companies you can't finance through.
Yeah, maybe.
That's fucking why.
That could be why.
But
if we combine all of these ideas.
If I strike out on 15 and I get one and I'm charging that much more money, I still make more money.
If we combine all these ideas. Who's to say you don't have a dynamic price book?
Oh, dude, man, we've been talking about this for 2 years.
That doesn't recognize AI-driven data of your customer and say, yeah, this customer can afford it. And so, yeah, everyone's paying the same trip charge. We quote the trip charge over the phone. Everyone's paying the same trip charge. But when you need a 50-gallon gas water heater, it's $3,200. But when Susan Smith over here, single mama too, just struggling to get by, when she needs a new 50-gallon gas water heater, it's $1,800.
Yeah.
And the tablet.
No, I know.
It's not a technician choosing it or anything else. This is corporate. This is coming down from the head honchos.
I get it.
And so.
It's like you and I, like let's, full transparency, you and I wouldn't do that.
I don't know how I feel on it.
I will tell you this. I would not, but I'm not given Miss Susie Jones that can't afford it to 18. And I'm not trying to gouge whoever Shelby Smith over here because she can.
Right, right, right.
My price is in the middle, and my price is my price. You know what I mean?
Well, that's the that's definitely the old school way of thinking of it. And I'm not disagreeing with you when I say I don't know how I feel about it. I'm saying that
I'm not
teeter-totter of...
I'm not crushing you.
Is this ruining ethics, or is this the next rendition of capitalism?
I don't know. My moral compass
I don't really know.
I'm 44, so it's easy for me to say my moral compass is set.
Yeah, you know
what I mean? So I'm not... And I'm not saying that it's wrong. All I'm saying is I wouldn't do it.
So I do know there are a larger than you would expect percentage of the population that's perfectly okay with it.
Oh, I'm not saying that they're not.
The
yeah.
comments I was getting on when I made a post about Lyft and when I made a post about Shake Shack, there were people, as I was talking earlier in the show about when I make a post that is polarizing.
Yeah, you know you're going to get an extreme.
Some
from
people
one
lean
end,
in and
other.
Some people
yeah.
lean back.
Yeah.
On both of those posts, I've had people comment and take that opportunity to lean back against my
yeah.
my personal brand or whatever, and they're like, "What do you care? This is nothing. Like this is nothing new." Like they're perfectly okay with Lyft charging them more or less based off of their financial means, and charging somebody else more or less than them for the exact same service. Right?
I'm not surprised at all.
And
either way, I would completely understand that.
Like, there's Target and Walmart are moving towards digital price tags, and I don't quite know how they pull that off because
they had them like 10 years ago because they were tired of paying someone to go in there and put the cards in.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
I know.
So,
well, and they're less likely to be frauded. Right, you can't move a price tag from one to the other and say, "Oh, it says $8.99. You're giving me this TV for $8.99."
100%.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
But like on a in-person store,
There's a barcode. You can't. You know what I mean? You can't
right.
change the barcode. Can't be digital.
You're paying the same price for milk as me.
Yeah.
Right. But, you're starting to see.
I mean, wouldn't that be?
You go to Sam. Do you Sam's?
No.
Sam's Club?
No.
So in Sam's Club.
I'm
loosely. Have you ever heard about my wife's Sam's Club membership?
Well, I was just about to say Janine has a twin sister.
So
we don't go to Sam's or Costco, but we go to Sam's and Costco.
Right. So Danielle and her friend Courtney wanted to get a Sam's Club membership, but they didn't want to pay for two memberships.
Oh, it's her friend.
And so they are in a domestic relationship.
Oh, fucking hell.
And
that is not where I thought that was going.
Yeah. And so that's our access to Sam's Club.
If there ain't video proof, it ain't having it. Yeah. Oh, that's gold.
But so I go to Sam's every now and then. But Danielle can buy shit on an app.
Oh, my God.
And then go pick it up in the store.
Yeah.
And then...
You're saying how is that not... We were talking about it earlier.
It could be manipulated.
That could be manipulated.
But buying through the app, right?
Man, what I don't understand, and I don't want to get off track here because we've... But, like, how is... I wonder if there is a law that stipulates that that's not legal. Like,
I don't know of a law that says it's not legal.
Because, like, when I think of it in a car aspect...
The only law that would state it's not legal is displaying one price and then charging another. And as long as at any moment in like
that's bait and switch.
Well, like on the Shake Shack thing.
Yeah.
They said, oh, there's been a pricing modification. Well, you can cancel the order. Like they're displaying the new price and you can cancel it.
Yeah.
And walk away. So is it rude as fuck to in the last minute, your one checkout button away from they just added $1.50 to your order of three items?
Well, that's where I'm going. Bait and switch is illegal.
Yes.
That is bait and switch. If you and I go to a car dealership and they're able to sell the same exact car to you for $26,000 and somehow I catch the guy in a good mood and I'm a great salesman as a buyer and get it for $25,000.
That's not bait and switch.
That's not just bait and switch. That's just negotiation. So like I'm really, and I know we're not going to be able to get through the laws or anything like that, but like at some point, something in there is going to have to be labeled as, and I just keep saying bait and switch because everyone understands it, right? But like, is that going to be a law? Is it a law now?
Here's where I see the biggest slippery slope with it.
Past it? Or like, what the fuck?
It changes the value of the dollar.
Well, like,
because $5 to you means something completely different than $5 to me.
Oh God, this isn't universal.
Well, what I'm getting
ahead,
at,
go ahead.
What I'm getting at is Taylor Swift. She obviously a lot of connections to Kansas City now that she's married to
she's
Travis.
Awful! I can't believe she's fucking still selling CDs.
I actually kind of.
It's because you're a faggot.
I enjoy her creativity. I'll say that.
You know what? When she was writing country music and writing those little songs on her own, she was really good.
Yeah, she's,
and now she's
pretty
a,
creative.
A pop shit bag.
But all whatever. all the stories we hear whenever she's at the stadium or going out on the town or whatever, she tips in $100 bills.
Yeah, of course.
Okay,
but that's
she doesn't
also,
carry anything in her wallet less than a $100 bill.
That's also like you tipping a dime. So fuck's your point?
Well, what I'm getting at is. $100 means something completely different to her than it does the person receiving the tip.
Yeah, now we're getting into socialism talk. Go ahead.
And so if this type of pricing goes and takes a stronghold, well, then it comes down to, let's just use big items, for example. If you spent 1% of your net worth on an item, that item was worth 1% of your net worth. Okay. Regardless of the dollars.
I understand.
Okay.
Yeah, you didn't lose me. Go ahead.
Let's say that's a new furnace for your house. And it's 1% of your net worth. Well, what about the guy that's worth a fraction of what you are? In dynamic pricing says, well, our studies indicate that people are willing to spend 1% of their net worth on a furnace.
Dude.
Do you know what I mean?
No, I completely understand what you mean.
And so it changes the value of a dollar. To the value of a dollar in relation to how much you have, not the value of a dollar for what the dollar's actually worth.
No, I know.
And that's the scary part of where this goes on the macro.
It's not just scary. It's like if you want to talk about fairness, and I don't know how I feel about it, but I do know that I try to dictate everything I do by fairness, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Bible says, like, and I know we don't try to get biblical on the show or anything, but like the lady that gives everything she has to the church, I can't remember what verse it is more than the guy that's given $100. She's given a penny, right? And that's everything she has. So to her, it's worth more than the guy that's given $100. You know what I mean? Do you know what I'm talking about at all? You're not much of a biblical scholar. Neither am I, but...
I'm Googling it to see if I can find...
Certain things stick out to me.
I'm trying to see if I can find it quickly.
Yeah, good luck. I can't remember what it is.
Yeah.
But she comes she comes and she gives like 1 pence, and it's everything she has.
Yeah. Oh, right here. Mark 12:41-44. Jesus praises the poor widow who came... who gave 2 small copper coins, all she had to live on, highlighting the deep sacrifice over large amounts.
Yeah.
But the
essence of how that works now is to her, that was everything.
Mm-hmm.
To your point, to Taylor Swift that buys the furnace for 1%, it's still worth the same. Does that make sense? So if you're thinking of fairness, the flexible pricing that you're talking about,
equal outcome,
makes more sense,
yeah.
Right?
But well, maybe.
Maybe.
That's the whole equal outcome thing. Like I didn't work this hard in life so that a furnace costs me the same percentage of my net worth as it does somebody who sat on their laurels all life.
Agree 100%.
Right? And so
agree 100%.
That's where you lose the fair. Like, is it true... fair? Well, yes, but life ain't fair.
Yeah, and it's fair in the sense of mathematics, but
fair
not
is
the,
a word that's easily perverted when you're trying to make an argument.
It's easily, you can manipulate it very easily.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
it's very interesting to think about, like, where we're going with pricing, how we're being manipulated,
mm-hmm.
vis-a-vis the internet, and like you were talking about, you just walk up to the kiosk with your phone and it knows immediately, oh, this is Mitch Smedley.
Yeah.
This motherfucker got some money.
Yeah.
I know that he falls into this price category.
Yeah.
Is that righteous or not? No.
I don't know.
Is it going to happen? Probably.
Probably.
Is it illegal? Not yet.
I mean,
you know what I mean? Like, it's very interesting to think about.
And for anybody still questioning, is this even a thing?
Oh, it's a thing.
All you have to do is go look at, like, your algorithms on social media.
Dude, if
you and I are men in our 40s.
If I get one more fucking blue chew. Look, listen, Facebook.
Exactly.
I don't need blue chew. My shit works. I'm fine.
Right.
Stop sending me fucking blue chew ads because of my age, goddammit.
Right.
I'm good.
You click on one video about a short-spined raccoon, and now your entire news feed is full of Jimothy. Have you seen Jimothy?
Yeah. Okay. I hate raccoons, and I shoot them all the time.
That's like, an ugly fucking raccoon, too.
Fuck raccoons.
Everyone says he's cute. Maybe he's cute because he's so ugly he's cute.
Dude, they do. It's so stupid. Like, I'll be on Instagram, and it'll be late, and I'm like, I'm just going to shut my brain down for a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm scrolling through, and it'll be like some weird tie-dye image. And I'm like, what the fuck is this? And so I'll stop and try to figure out what it is. It's two people doing it. I don't care. I don't want to see that. I scroll past. But because I waited to try to
understand. Because you paused on it.
I was like, what is this? Stop scroll. It's not that I wanted to see that. It's that I wanted to understand what the fuck was on my screen.
Yeah.
And now for the next 3 days, I got to be scrolling through this shit.
Yeah.
If you think that they're not targeting you.
They're absolutely doing it.
And it's not just that or your age for Blue Chew or whatever. They're targeting you for everything to see what sticks. That's the fucking problem.
This will probably become a reality for home service companies. Mm-hmm. It'll probably come through the private equity channel first.
Fuck
and then
PE.
The technology will be released to everybody else because undoubtedly this technology will be really expensive. And for the guy that's running 20 service calls a week, he won't be able to afford it.
Yeah.
But for the guy that's running 250 service calls a day, and he can alter the outcome of those service calls by as much as 5% more money just based off of AI-driven data on who can afford more. Like, this goes back to the whole thing of whenever you're pitching somebody a price and you give them a price and they agree to your price way too fast, you immediately think, oh, I should have charged more. Well, this is AI reversing that. And now AI is going to say, hey, you should probably charge more. And so, okay, it's not 10 grand, it's 12 grand. Okay, go ahead and do it.
Oh, well, fuck.
Shit. You know?
It's such a slippery gray area.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's just fucking... I will say, like anything else, though, if you're not thinking about it and understanding what's going on so that you can then make your own best judgment, you're doing yourself a... disservice.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you gotta have
all the
information. You
gotta know stuff like this is coming.
To know what you should be doing.
And it's not just pricing. Keep in mind, I've sat down and spoke with somebody who verifies this technology exists in the marketing realm. And so in the marketing realm, it's already existing on your phone, but it's direct to your device, right?
If
I go search decking or
sorry.
Yeah.
Got me, man.
I got a saggy deck. Is your deck soft? Check out Blue Chew decking.
Oh, my God. If I can see one more Blue Chew ad. But, I know. And I'm going to see 10 more today for no fucking reason. I don't understand it.
Blue Chew, Blue Chew,
God
Blue Chew.
God damn it.
But,
fucking asshole. God damn it.
For those that are listening to this, I just grabbed Dave's cell
phone
and streamed
Blue Chew
into it.
God damn it, man. There were fucking Blue Chew ads for 3 days. You know what? And the chicks, like, they're okay looking, but they're not. They're like old fat broads.
They're like old strippers.
Yeah, they are old strippers.
I mean, it's like, ooh, what's that? Ooh, what's that?
I don't, that's another conversation for another fucking day, bro.
But anyway, like, that technology exists. It's just, we're going to be surprised at where it's being applied.
Yeah.
And it's going to surprise you much faster than you're ready for.
God, it's driving
and so,
me crazy.
Like, does Josh Hawley have a legal standing to do what he did on the Senate Judiciary Committee? Probably not. He's just using his platform to chastise corporations because he knows that gets him followers and that makes the people that like him more.
Oh, don't agree with that at all. I believe that if you don't point out what's going on.
Oh, I'm not saying he's not doing his job right.
Yeah, he's like, okay, if I stay this... And then people that are in the know about if this is lawful or not, they'll take up the torch, right? You know what I mean? Like, so somebody's got to say something. I can hear all the libtards now. But Josh Hawley's a Republican asshole. Okay. You know what? Keep paying more, you fucking dipshits.
So Bernie Sanders.
Fuck Bernie Sanders too. I'd like to.
Held his first public office.
Fuck him, dude.
For a total of 33, let's see, participated in campaign. I'm trying to find out when he like first made it to politics.
I'd like to see him and AOC in a boat together drowning in the fucking Pacific. That's 81, what I'd like to fucking see.
Served 4 terms as mayor. Okay, so it looks like it began 1981.
Context. I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Here. Bernie Sanders first stepped into public office in 1981.
Hey, the year I was born.
Okay. He started getting active in activism and campaigns in the 60s and 70s, but 81 was his first like public office.
That's when Soros was like, "Here's some money, buddy."
Okay. So,
take it.
Bernie Sanders has made an entire career off of questioning the ethics and the policies of corporations and questioning the ethics and the policies of the wealthy.
And now all he does it, he's probably crushing him.
Well, and so what I'm getting at is it helps your political campaign. There's a lot of losers out there that hate to see the success of big corporations, and so they love bandwagoning on any bashing of corporations.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so it's kind of like the flock camera argument where – like, and don't get me wrong, I am not a supporter of flock cameras,
No. But
there's people that are like, flock cameras are infringing upon my rights as they type on their elected chosen permissions of social media, on their chosen permissions on their cell phone, on their chosen permissions of their Gmail account.
I know.
And meanwhile, they're looking at their Ring doorbell camera footage and asking all their neighbors if they have any footage because somebody walked through their yard last night.
I think Ring cameras should be outlawed, and I think flock cameras should be outlawed.
It's a weird slope there. I did see a really funny video where somebody went and surveilled Flock, their corporate business.
Oh, shit.
And they stood in the parking lot with cameras, and all these employees came out, and they're like, "You can't do that." And he's like, "Why not?
Dude, are you fucking..."
You do it.
Dude, that's fucking gold.
The cops get called and like nobody's in trouble for anything. It's just pushing all these gray areas, which is what Flock's doing.
Yeah.
And then there's this guy who comes out who's absolutely a high-ranking like C-suite member of the Flock organization. And he's like, "Well, I work for a subsidiary. We're just a delivery..."
He's a piece of shit.
He's got some like shell job to make it look like he's not a high person of Flock.
I would have stood outside and waited for that guy to come out and then filmed his vehicle and like where it went and his license plate.
Well, there's other people that have gone to their city council meetings. And one guy, he had like 5 minutes to talk, and he was like, "So I've come out with a new product. And what this product does is it actually surveils police officers. And so we will now film police officers as they move throughout the city. And we will capture audio and video recording of them as to their conversations and their locations. And it's for your safety, police officers."
I think they do that already.
Well,
so the cars are tracked GPS, which I think as long as you fill out a form, you can get that information.
Not live.
Not live. Not
no,
live.
He's saying live.
But you can get that information.
And he says...
Flock cameras aren't live either.
It's like live for the cops.
You can't see it.
It's live for the cops.
Well, they're also in charge of public safety.
And
I hate flock cameras.
This guy flips
them all fucking down is what I want to do.
This guy flips the script and said, "These are for the citizens to watch the cops, but it's for your safety, cops." And he basically...
I get what
turns the table back on them and like, is it really for our safety or is it for the surveillance state of the world, right?
Yeah.
But
what do you think those AI data centers are for?
Well, here's the weird thing. Who's paying for flock cameras?
Cities.
No.
Who's paying for them?
I don't know. I have it on good authority. Blue Springs hadn't spent a dime on their flock cameras.
Is that from the guy that we both know?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, they are, by roundabout way, they are paying for them. They're getting approved for grants.
They're getting
the grants
subsidies.
Pay for them.
Yeah, they're getting subsidies.
But it's not affecting the city of Blue Springs' budget.
When you want to talk about... We're already at 123. One last thing. We'll see how far it goes. When you want to talk about how did all these data centers all of a sudden get funding and how did they all want to be put in at the same time and how did all of these flock cameras get put in, like it's for surveillance. Those AI data centers are to control people.
Yeah.
That's what they're fucking for.
Well, here's the weird thing. If AI data centers are so profitable and such a lucrative business, why do I have to pay for them with my tax dollars?
Because you've been being manipulated with tax dollars forever. That's why. It's the standard. It's not something new.
And then if I have to pay for it as an investor, as a taxpaying citizen that now has no choice but to pay for it through either direct taxes or because they're getting tax breaks from the city that I pay taxes to, so yeah. therefore my taxes are subsidizing the creation of the data center,
yeah.
then why don't I get profit sharing from the AI data centers?
I don't know. Why don't you get why don't you get profit sharing from taxes that go to the federal government that they then invest in other things and those businesses do well?
Right.
Like that's like we
it's a weird thing where it's like, oh, these data centers are supposed to be so lucrative, but yet they get the cities to pay for them and they get the taxpayers to pay for them.
Dude, I'm telling you, data centers are not all they are for is AI,
mm-hmm.
which AI is then tracking you and your questions. So they know a ton about you.
Yep. Apparently Claude doesn't.
And
apparently Claude erases its memory after every search.
Uh-huh. Sure. So they say. Fucking, I don't fucking believe
that. ChatGPT absolutely does not.
No. Or they're there to track everyone's fucking movement and where everyone's at and mm-hmm. what they're spending money on and doing everything in the glorification of safety, quote yeah. unquote. Every one of them should be blown off the face of the fucking earth, and every flock camera should be cut down, and every smartphone should be thrown away, and we should go back to flip phones and dial up.
Yeah.
Not dial up. Like, cell phones are only for making calls and texts, and that's it. Like, if you want to get back to actually being people, like, that's what it's going to take.
You want
to... Luckily, you and I are going to be fucking dead before all that happens, but...
You want to watch a...
No.
A funny movie about the reverse of technology.
Idiocracy. No, that's not
The Last House. Watched it last night with Danielle. It's kind of hard to follow. It's a sci-fi thing.
Is it Netflix or Paramount? Or
I feel like Netflix.
Prime. Is it on Netflix?
Yeah.
All I have is Prime and Netflix. So,
but
if it's not on there, I'm not fucking watching it.
Watch up The Last House. But it's kind of slow, and you're going to be like, what the fuck?
Dude, I like thrill. Is it a little bit of a thriller?
It's a little bit of a thriller.
Then I'll watch it.
But it's like literally the reverse of technology. And the guy who handles the reverse of technology the best ends up like the victor, so to speak.
Dude, first off, that's what the apocalypse is all about. I'm ready.
Yeah.
I've been waiting. I've been waiting for 10 years. Like, what the fuck? Why haven't we gotten on with it yet?
Yeah.
Mitch, we're at 126. You got to wrap us up, buddy.
If this show made you think about things in a different way, which I know it absolutely did as far as how you price your services and who you price your services to, do us a favor and share this show with somebody that needs to hear it. We've been on a streak here lately of some banger shows. I know the audio last week was pretty sketch, but we still wanted to make sure the content was out there because that was a really good show. This one also was a really good show. And that's the purpose of this show, is to kind of change the way you think about running your service-based business. So do us a favor, share the show. If you see somebody asking questions about starting their own service-based business, do us a favor and tag us on Facebook at Podcast The Void. Drop some links to the show or whatever else there. Your guys sharing this show helps us out dramatically and keeps the listeners going. So until next week, guys.
See you.